everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you off and running on this Friday, October the 3rd, 2025. Hey, Brendan Kraft on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our show today. Brendan, could this be, I hope it is, fingers crossed, the last 100-day temperature, 100-degree temperature day?
I hope so, with all my heart.
Oh, my gosh. I know. It's been such a long, hot spell, hasn't it?
It has been very hot.
And very dry, one of the driest summer rainy seasons. Tim Steller is here, who, like myself, is kind of a weather hobbyist.
Oh, for sure.
I was talking about you with my University of Arizona climate scientist, Dr. Zach Guido. Zach was on this week. I was talking about you and I kind of, we follow weather almost like, you know, box scores of sports or something. And it was pretty miserable, wasn't it, this summer?
It was the one thing, it was quite miserable. The one thing I'm hopeful for is, I don't know if you remember, but last October, we had 16 record high temperatures. I had to count them up because I thought it was the majority.
So really?
We had 16 record high temperatures in October last year, most of them over 100.
Can't believe it.
So that's most of the month was record heat, and it's just not looking like that this year, thank God.
Good, good, good. All right, we're in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios, part of the Bustos Media Center in central Tucson. We've got five radio stations now under one location. This one's 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted voice for live local news and talk. The Buckmaster Show rounds out 15 full years of the radio program in January, and we'll push into year 16, and we'll push closer to nearly four decades of participation in Tucson media. We've got our worldwide live listening during the noon hour, where we take the piggyback feed from KVOI.com on BuckmasterShow.com. The place also for all of our podcasts going back to when we began the program the first week of January in 2011. The Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Media shout-outs, TucsonSentinel.com. Thanks, Dylan and team, for supporting us. Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, Dan Shear and his group, and also Tucson Spotlight. My co-media host today, Tim Steller. Congratulations to Tim. Recently honored by the Arizona Press Club with the prestigious Don Bowles Award for Investigative Reporting for the series titled Twisted Message. Tim shared that award with Lee Enterprises public service journalism reporter Emily Hammer.
Hamer. But yeah.
Sorry. Tim also was named Arizona's top columnist. I believe that's the third time he's won that, second or third.
Who's keeping count?
Who keeps track? But anyway, you've probably spent the prize money already.
How many ways can you spend $0?
I don't know. I don't know. But it might not even buy you a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
In fact, it won't. All right, our Friday Focus interview is former Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasacek, director of the Pima Animal Care Center. Steve, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Congratulations, Tim.
Hey, thanks, Steve.
I'm going to begin with this new law, a new law that went into effect this week. Steve Kasacek expands the definition of animal cruelty. We've got a real animal cruelty problem in this state. Arizona Humane Society cruelty investigators, Steve, responded to over 10,000 cases of suspected abuse just in 2024. Your thoughts?
Yeah, the new law really is focused on Maricopa County. We already have some pretty robust ordinances in place locally, so we're on that already. And so I noted that all the media play was happening up in Maricopa County because they understand that we're kind of ahead of the curve on that is concerned, but. That is to say, from the standpoint of the letters of the law that are already in place, we have, as you correctly point out, an immense issue when it comes to cruelty and neglect. Our Animal Protection Service unit is made up of 18 officers and two investigators. We're responsible for covering 90 to 9,200 square miles of Pima County. And right now we have probably 400 cases that are either significant bites or cruelty or neglect. We have about 55 hoard situations that are on the books right now that we're simply trying to get to. The challenge that we have is that when we know, and I've gone through the list and just added up what we know or believe is out there in terms of hoard situations. When we add that list up, there are over 800 dogs and over 200 cats that right now we know are being held in conditions that would qualify under the law as either cruelty or neglect. The reason we're not out there impounding all these animals is because PAC was built to hold roughly 350 dogs. If you figure that half of the kennels can be co-housed, today we have 520. And so if we went out and impounded another 1,000 animals, we would simply be inhumane to bring them into a condition like this, where most of the time we'd have to simply euthanize them just for space. So we're not doing that. I do have some solutions in play, but that story is just to indicate that the conditions in Pima County are amazingly unique. When it comes to the number of hoard situations, but cruelty and neglect is a real thing in this community, sadly to say.
Steve, could I get you to talk a little closer into your cell phone? It was like we were more of an echo. So your current census at Pima Animal Care is what?
About 520 this morning. Mm-hmm. That's dogs.
Yeah.
Not another 100 cats, but that's not a problem for us. About 520 dogs.
Tim, go ahead.
Yeah. So, Steve, when you say that you're not impounding some dogs because it's so overcrowded already, does that mean that like a vicious dog that has bitten people or whatever will not get impounded, or will that dog get priority because it's a public safety threat?
Exactly. That is exactly how it works. We have right now roughly, round numbers, 1,500 calls on our APS, Animal Protection Service, backlog. And the reason that, for instance, if somebody calls us and says there's a dog barking next door or there's a stray dog in the neighborhood that just walked by my house, those calls fall to the bottom of the list exactly for the reason that you just said. We have to prioritize the emergent issues. If we have an imminent danger, if there's a dog that's out biting people, other animals, or whatever, those emergency calls get thrown to the top of the list. So those are not being ignored. And we will impound, and we will prosecute, and we cite people, and we do it every single day. These are not rare calls, sadly. They're daily calls, and that's the reason the other lower priority calls are simply stacking up.
All right, let's go to the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Debbie would like to talk about the cats at the Pima Animal Care Center. Go ahead, Debbie.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Debbie.
I would like to get some information from you. Maybe this is a rumor that you can clear up, or if it's not a rumor, you can explain to me what's going on. I recently I have been trying to adopt a cat for quite some time, and that never used to be a problem. However, cats are becoming increasingly difficult to find for adoption unless you go through these, you know, fancy-pantsy rescues, and they charge a whole lot of money. And I'm wondering why there are so few cats housed actually at the premise, you know, at PAC. Where, you know, one place where a person like myself could drive out there, take a look at many cats, and hopefully come home with one.
Okay,
thank
you,
Debbie.
They're
telling me that I have to go out to all these shelters, you know, various rescues.
Okay, thanks, Debbie. Go ahead, Steve.
First, yes, we about 3 weeks ago, we had a lull where we were, frankly, running low on cats. I was in the cat area yesterday. There are plenty of cats to adopt. Right now, if you go on our website, you can look at what we have in the shelter right now. We do not turn people away and send them to rescues. We have cats for adoption right now. And so I don't know what the situation was in Debbie's case in particular, but we have, I believe, 82 here right now. And, you know, yeah, come on out and get some.
Steve Kasachek, what is the main reason for the high census on the dog side?
I wish there was one issue that we could point to, but sadly there are several. I think I would just summarize it by saying that we have a community that does not spay and neuter their animals. We have a community that does not properly confine their animals. Roughly 70% of the dogs that we get into the shelter are strays, and fewer than 15% of those are microchipped. And so if we can't find the owner, here they are. They're with us. We have over 35 community events right now that are on the books between now and the end of November that are all geared towards altering the animals that are out in the community. There are some people who feel that if you neuter a male dog, it's going to become less manly or whatever. There are cultural issues. They're all false. And we will not adopt an animal out of here that has not been altered. And Tim, you mentioned the vicious animal, the dangerous dogs that, mm-hmm. that come in here. We charge a significantly higher redemption fee for an unaltered animal when they leave here, and we will virtually give dogs back to people if they're in here as strays or whatever. Not the vicious ones, but as strays, mm-hmm. if they allow us to alter them. So the community just needs to get a revelation that we do not need more people out there breeding their animals, whether mm-hmm. it's dogs or cats. We have a very robust trap, neuter, and return cat program. Our community cat program is out every single day, loaning out traps to people to catch the community cats, the feral cats that are in the neighborhood. And we're not bringing them into the shelter so that we can keep them. We're bringing them into the shelter to alter them and put them back out in the community where we know they're being cared for. But they're not reproducing. So if there was a single answer to that, it would be easier to fix. But the reality is that people who come in, who get animals from, not from us, because ours are all altered, but from breeders, from some rescues, they're getting them unaltered and unaltered, and they're not fixing them.
Steve, I remember when PAC first opened and filled up with dogs, the way people described it to me was that it was basically a pit bull housing, that the vast majority of dogs there were pit bulls, pit bull mixes, that sort of thing. I can't say that I ever checked that out, but is that the case, or was that the case?
It was. We have, like, as I said, we have about 520 dogs out here right now, and without scanning the list, maybe half are pit bull breed, mixed breed, with some pit bull in them. But we have all sorts of animals, all sorts of dogs out here right now. And so, no, we're not just exclusively pit bulls.
Great.
All right, let's take a break right here. We'll have more with Steve Kasachek, the director of Pima Animal Care Center. But right now, Steve and Tim, it's time to talk about my favorite bakery in town. I think everybody in these very troubled times can agree. I know, Tim.
Yeah, that's for sure. Tim's,
I think we could all agree that what's better than a cup of coffee and a wonderful pastry? Certainly comfort food at its best. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Their signature pastry is the Danish Kringle, but all the pastries are absolutely delicious. I love their carrot cake, and I love, that almond croissant is pretty hard to beat. All right, doors open at 7 o'clock. They do take Monday off. The website's monasdanishbakery.com. Check it out, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Talking about animal welfare issues in our community with Steve Kasachek, former Tucson City Councilman, now heading up the Pima Animal Care Center. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Thank you.
travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
Check out the project list for a new $2.67 billion regional transportation plan that Pima County voters will consider next March. The RTA Next Plan proposes improvements in the greater Tucson region to reduce congestion and support cleaner air, enhance network reliability, safety and efficiency, and expand transit, bike, and pedestrian options for another 20 years. Voters will also consider a half-cent countywide sales tax to fund the plan and continue RTA improvements. Learn more about the proposed plan and projects at RTANext.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Bring that up a little bit now, Brandon. Let's hear a little more of that.
Yeah.
Grooving on a Friday afternoon in Tucson.
What is that?
I don't know. Brandon, Tim, did you hear him?
No, I didn't hear it. What is it?
Tell us, Brandon. What were you playing?
It's the Gorillaz.
The Gorillaz. Okay.
Yeah, it's a pop band that's been around for a good while. They do all sorts of good music.
Okay, great. Right. Tim Steller's here, the recently honored columnist. Well, he was award-winning even before he was recently honored with a couple more top awards. He is my co-media host, and not only co-media host, but honored to say he's my friend. And on the live line, a gentleman I've known for a long time, former Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek, who is the director at Pima Animal Care Center. And our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Steve Kasachek, the government shutdown is occurring and is now underway. Any impact on your operation, sir?
Yeah, well, let me say this first. The Gorillaz.
Yeah.
So you will both cringe at the segue, but gorillas, chimpanzees, Jane Goodall died yesterday or
before. Yes.
He was 91. Do you know what Jane Goodall's favorite animal was?
No.
A dog.
You
would have said chimpanzee. Loved dogs. Her dogs were her favorite animal because they were loyal and unjudgmental and all that. And if you ever saw her biography, it was the Loft had it on, I think, at one time. She was just aghast at one time when the chimpanzees mauled each other fighting over territory.
Yeah.
And so there's kind of still in our DNA.
Yep.
Another bad segue back to the federal government, but yes, the federal government shut down. And anytime there are issues at the local, state, or national level that impact people's discretionary income, we keep our eye over our shoulder out here to make sure that, or to watch for people offloading their animals, their pets. The cost of veterinary care is a real thing. The cost of animal food is a real thing, and when people have to start pinching their pennies, sometimes the first thing that goes is, okay, Fido or Fluffy have to go back to the shelter.
Steve, I got a question online. I posted about this program on my Facebook page, and a woman asked if any of the large grant that PAC recently received will go to hiring more animal control officers. I don't know the reference, but I'm sure you do.
The grant that she's talking about is from Maddie's Fund. I believe it's the one she's talking about. It's a three-way partnership between Friends of PAC, Pima Animal Care, and Humane Society of Southern Arizona. It is not aimed at APS officers, Animal Protection Service officers. Let me circle back to that in a second, though. The grant itself is aimed at diverting animals from the shelter to training, to behavioral training so that they can be diverted from a shelter, and also to providing low-income, low-cost veterinary care through the Friends of PAC Clinic. The segue back to the APS officers, though, is that one of the first things that I did when I came out here was ask for a supplemental budget request to Pima County so that we could increase the number of APS officers that we have out in the field. And despite the significant budget challenges that Pima County was facing last fiscal year, this fiscal year, they did approve two more officers. And so we do have more that we're bringing on. In fact, just this morning, we were interviewing for APS officers. And so it's a real need out here. We recognize it. And thankfully, the county board of supervisors approved a supplemental request so we could add a couple more.
Are these adoption events you're having taking them into the community, are they making a difference? I know you've got some East Side events coming.
Well, the community events that we're going out on right now, the 30 to 35 that I mentioned, are primarily aimed at spay neuter and wellness and vaccinating and microchipping and licensing the animals. We go out occasionally on adoption events, but it's frankly we have more opportunity here in the shelter where we have more foot traffic, and it's a pretty big lift to take dogs out that we know are highly adoptable anyway, and they'd get adopted here in the shelter. What's happening on the east side, though, is going to be pretty cool, and it's another one of the ways that I'm trying to address the shelter capacity here is this. We know that the majority of the dogs, that primarily dogs that we adopt out, are being adopted from people who live, say, from Craycroft to the west. People are not driving out to PAC from Vail or from Rita Ranch, from the east side of town, to come out to 4000 North Silverbelt. So we know that they're not. That's what the data shows. And so I have been looking for an east side location where we can open up an adoption site. We found one. It's out at roughly at Broadway and Kolb. We are right now in the process of finalizing the negotiation for a lease agreement for that location. I think that we're very, very close to having the terms agreed to. And so we will hopefully begin tenant improvements on an east side location around Broadway and Kolb right after Halloween. I'm anticipating that's when we'll get this before the Board of Supervisors for final approval of the lease. But the improvements of the site should be finished about Valentine's Day. And so hopefully, roughly February 12, 14 next year, we'll be out around, have an east side location. This will not be for intake. It will not be a clinic. It will not be animal protection services, the enforcement agency. It will simply be an adoption site. And so we expect the facility to be able to hold 35 to 40 dogs and a couple dozen cats. That will help get the relieve some of the stress here in the shelter. And hopefully it'll also reduce the length of stay of some of the animals that we have out here. If we can, we're selling a product. And my thought is let's take the product to the people out on the east side, because we know that they just don't have the time. It's not a criticism of them. It's an hour drive from Rita Ranch to get out here, and I understand that. So we're going to try and go closer to them. So hopefully around my wife's birthday, February 12th, we're going to have an Eastside Adoption Center.
What about veterinary, low-cost veterinary care? Is any available under your auspices, Steve Kasachek?
Yes. Friends of PAC is our 501c3 partner. In roughly April, May, they began and they've ramped up. They've opened up a low-cost vet care clinic. It's on First Avenue, right around Glen, between Glen and Grant. And they're full service over there. They've got veterinarians on staff. They've got vet techs on staff. And I mentioned in the brief conversation about the federal shutdown that the cost of veterinary care is a real thing. If you own animals, then you know that anytime you take them in for mm-hmm. any kind of vet care, it's hitting your discretionary income. Any animal that is adopted through PAC, either now or has been adopted through PAC, is eligible for coverage over at the Friends of PAC clinic. And they also have a sliding scale that's simply income based. And so that if you've got an animal, even if it did not come from PAC, that you still may be eligible for that coverage over at that clinic.
And again, the location of that clinic, and are they open daily?
They're open Monday through Friday right now. They're still trying to ramp up from a staffing standpoint to be able to open up more hours on the weekends. They are located on First Avenue between Glen and Grant.
Oh, good. All right. Any upcoming events you'd like to share with us, Steve Kasachek?
We are going to have a Snip and Tip event. The Debbie who called about the cats, Snip and Tip is aimed at getting cats in here so that we can get them spayed or neutered. The event is coming up in November. We also have on our website a full list of all the events that we have coming up. And we've got, like I said, 30, 35 of them. And if you have an animal that has not been altered, really consider that. The events that we take out in the community, we are offering these services for free. And if you go to a private vet clinic, you can pay hundreds of dollars to get your dog, if it's a large breed dog, spayed or neutered. We're giving the services away, and we will give a free wellness check, and we will vaccinate the dogs, and we will microchip the animal. We want to provide people the tools that they need in order to keep these animals out of a shelter. This is not where they need to be. They need to be in your home. But when, as I mentioned earlier, when 70% of the dogs that we get in here are strays, and fewer than 20% are microchipped, that's such an easy way for you to protect your animal from if it gets strayed. And we understand sometimes they're going to get out. But if they get out and they get here and they're not chipped and we can't find you, then you've lost your animal and they may wind up in somebody else's home. Worse yet, they may wind up staying out here for 60, 90 days in a kennel, and that's not good for the animals.
All right. On a personal note, your side gig with your musical performances, any place you'll be would like to promote in town?
Yeah, a week from Friday, I'll be playing out at Javelina at the Doubletree from 6 to 8. And then the week after that, noon to 3 on Saturday at Corbett's, November 8th over at Rody's. Yeah, some good things coming up. Thank you for mentioning that.
And is it just you and the guitar and a microphone? Any backup or what?
It is me, a guitar, a microphone, vocals, and call it flying solo.
There you go. Do you miss your work on the console?
No. I'm beating around the bush. We have some really significant issues that we're dealing with here at PAC, and not that the council ones were not, but they're equally there's a lot of energy, people's energy and emotion that comes into this work, this from the animal welfare stuff I did in the council related to Tucson Greyhound Park and steroids and stuff like that. This was not foreign territory to me, and really, really enjoying the work that we're doing out here because I think we're making a difference. The east side location is going to be a big deal. The efforts that we're going to put into addressing the horde situations is going to be a big deal. Tim, you... something in your wheelhouse. I've reached out to the Pima Animal Care Advisory Committee, the Citizens Group, to get recommendations on what we might see over at the Star Village. If they're inviting animals into there, I've got some real concerns about the impact A lot of the animals that homeless people have are for protection, and if you put 25 homeless people in there, each with an animal, they may be having some unintended consequences. And so I'm asking PACAC to weigh in on that during our next meeting. So there's still some overlap. I've been working with TPD and the Sheriff's Department regularly on assist cases that you know, the same contacts I had when I was on the council. So we don't just throw that Rolodex behind and forget about it. It's still got a lot of contacts.
Did you have anything more, Tim?
No, that sounds great.
All right. Thank you, Steve Kasachek. Hope you have a great weekend. Thanks.
Thanks a bunch. You too. Appreciate y'all.
All right. Thank you very much. Take a break right here. Coming up on the Buckmaster Show, segment number 3, that traditionally on Friday means Bill talks with Tim or somebody else in the media about all the local news. And boy, there's a ton of it that we need to address here. Be right back.
Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun, covering your hometown.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
All righty then, we are back on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Tim Steller is here and folks joining us. And that's what I like about the noon hour, Tim. It's a drive time. People are in and out of the car. So again, congratulations on a couple of big awards, including Best Columnist and that very prestigious Don Bowles Investigative Award from the Arizona Press Club. So congratulations.
Thank
to you,
Bill. Yeah, it felt good to get the Don Bowles, in part just because it's a little bit somber to be associated with him since he was the last journalist killed in Arizona, car bomb killed him in Phoenix in 1976. Mm. So yeah, that made me happy. I mean, at the the association with him and the Orr made me happy.
I met him actually at dinner with him because we had the when I was working for the Associated Press, where our office was in the Arizona Republic building.
Mm.
So we had a little cafeteria there. So I met him. Great guy. All right, Tim, so much to unpack. Adelita Grijalva still waiting to be officially sworn in. The official canvas for that's October 14th.
Yeah.
So is there a shot at getting her, is there a chance she could get sworn in before that?
Yeah, I mean, anytime the House is in session, the Speaker can swear her in. There was going to be what they called a pro forma session today, when theoretically she could have been sworn in. According to something House Speaker Mike Johnson told CBS News yesterday, he expects to swear her in next week when the regular session resumes. But as we noted in the paper today, there really isn't any compulsion for him to swear her in until October 14th, which is when the state's certification is final.
And her swearing in is very important because she's got a very decisive vote, doesn't she?
Yep. On the petition to release the Jeffrey Epstein files, she would be the decisive final vote that would force that issue. Interestingly, if she had lost, Boutieres said he had the same position on the issue.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The Republican apparently also would have voted that way.
Mm.
But there she is, poised for that and other important votes.
Of course, a lot of the cynical folks are saying even if they take a look at the Epstein files, they may be swept clean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, who knows what we're going to see. Yeah,
I don't know what would be in there.
Fertile ground for conspiracy theories.
Yes, sir. Okay, University of Arizona in the news. What's going on about this deal that was proposed by the Trump administration?
So the Trump administration sent letters to 9 universities this week proposing to enter into a compact which would give them preferential treatment for federal funding and some other benefits.
Mm-hmm.
The compact requires certain things of the universities. The good things are things like freezing tuition for American students. I think they specified. I read it this morning. It's a 10-page document. It includes some controversial things like they can only accommodate 2 genders, a male and female. They can't, they can't accommodate any non-binary people in an official sense. There's some provisions that attempt to the way I'm going to phrase it skeptically or cynically in my Sunday column is it's basically affirmative action for conservatives on campus.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few things like that. In a way, it's a way to get the universities to adhere to the Trump project as it pertains to universities by tempting them with financial and other benefits. There's also a stick with this carrot. If you slip off this narrow path they've laid out for them, then they have to pay back all federal funding they receive.
That's all federal
funding. So, yeah, like if you slip up and have a non-gendered bathroom or something, I don't know, I'm just making this up.
Yeah.
Theoretically, you'd have to pay back the hundreds of millions of dollars that these universities receive in research funding.
Is it like a loyalty oath to the Trump administration?
Not that direct,
okay.
But indirectly, yes. And so it's a real test for the university administration, the new president, Suresh Garamella, and also, the Board of Regents and everyone associated with the university.
Why was the University of Arizona singled out as one of the 9?
We can only speculate. I don't know the specific reasons. I'm sorry. It's not that we can only speculate, but that in the New York Times and other publications, there's a Trump administration official who essentially said these nine were universities that were considered kind of open to some Trump administration proposals. So the U of A, I think there's two clear moments when the U of A showed it was willing to play ball with the Trump administration and didn't want to fight, would submit to their demands. One was in the executive orders about diversity, equity, inclusion, and inclusion back in the spring, when the university obeyed quickly, went beyond even what was asked of universities and some of what they did, shut down cultural centers.
Mission statement was changed.
Missions, yeah, the land acknowledgement, all kinds of, yeah, there were ripples throughout the university. They were very willing. You know, they didn't wait to be told on some borderline things or so. They were happily going beyond the demanded changes. So that was earlier this year, and then this last week, in a quite dramatic, I think it was last week, in a quite dramatic move, they answered. The University of Arizona was one of 10 universities targeted by a congressional committee, the Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party.
Okay.
And they were called out, these 10 universities, including the U of A, for failing to act on the committee's earlier recommendations related to projects with Chinese universities. What the U of A had is, I believe, 5 micro campuses in China.
Yes.
And the U of A, just the minute they put out there, well, it wasn't that quick, but it very soon after.
They were closing.
They said,
them.
We're going to close the micro campuses.
Yes.
So they've shown a willingness to submit, like an almost an eagerness to submit. This is the way, my personal opinion. And so, I think the Trump administration is like, whoa, these guys want to play ball with us. The irony of the whole compact idea is that it kind of purports to bring back meritocracy by removing diversity hires, and that's, making universities commit to that. But then it completely overturns meritocracy, because the whole idea is there will be this special elite level insider group of universities who get special benefits. They're not competing for these grants with all the other universities. They'll get the special treatment because they have decided to play ball with the administration.
What if they don't sign the compact?
Well, I'm guessing there's got to be some wiggle room between yes and no on this. I mean, I think, as I understand it, it's a few weeks to a couple of months of decision-making time. There are risks that come with all this stuff when you're singled out, but you would just be like every other university in the country, I guess, So, but I imagine if they're smart, these universities are either, rejecting in as a group, or, agreeing to some kind of discussion as a group.
Faculty blowback?
Oh yeah, already there. Yeah, I mean, they don't want any part of this. I mean, I've talked to some faculty, and they note that not all of this is controversial. They're saying not to have gender or racial bias in hiring and that sort of thing. And some of it, the faculty that I've spoken with view the Trump administration as misunderstanding how universities like the U of A operate, that they think it's all about, affirmative action for all kinds of protected groups, when it's really not that simple.
Mm-hmm. All right. The group has now been formed that will be speaking on behalf of the RTA. That election's coming up in early March. Group is calling themselves, as you write in today's column in the Arizona Daily Star, it's called Connect Pima, and some high-level folks involved on that committee.
Yeah, the chair of the committee is the CEO of Tucson Medical Center. And then there's, of course, as often is the case with these with these groups, there's a long list of co-chairs highlighted by the mayor of Tucson, Regina Romero, and the mayor of Marana, John Post, a variety of business leaders and people. It's always interesting to see who's supporting these. People involved in engineering for some reason get very interested in these tax increases that will fund road repairs and that
kind of
thing.
And they did want to cover themselves with an environmentalist, Carolyn Campbell.
They did put Carolyn Campbell on, yep.
Mm-hmm. Coalition for Sonoran Desert Protection. What, just your gut feeling on this election March 10th. I think that it's a mistake. Some people just say writing it off, that it doesn't have much of a shot. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I'm not going to dismiss it. I mean, yeah. I think a lot of the opposition came from the city of Tucson over the years, in recent years. Now the city's come around. They've endorsed putting this on the ballot. And so I guess the question is whether you can put that genie back in the bottle. You know, this dissatisfaction and anger at RTA that has been brewing in the city for years now, can that be kind of replaced with enthusiasm and that sort of thing?
And they have tried to cover some of these areas like transit, you know, patching up some of the roads,
yeah.
Trying to throw a little... maybe a little something for everybody.
Yeah, they've made, like, you know, the city was really unhappy with how the money was scheduled to be spent or has been spent in the previous iteration of this the RTA. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, they've tried to kind of throw a little more, a few bones the city's way this time.
We should mention that the Don Bowles Award for Investigative Reporting was for a series. And for people that are interested in that series, how could they take a look at it?
Well, it's called Twisted Message. That's the title of the series. And let me just see what happens when I put mm-hmm. that phrase into a search engine.
The series went on. I mean, how many parts?
So if you just put Twisted Message in mm-hmm. in a Google search or some other search, it'll come up. It's the first link. And so, yeah, we did the series over a week or so in November, and then there have been a series of updates.
It ran for about a week, but you spent a lot of time.
Oh, yeah. It started in February 23. I met some people at a coffee shop.
You didn't put the whole thing together.
No. Yeah. And so then my colleague Emily has been really keeping on it. To such an extent that I believe we initially together, but she, as time went on, were really influential probably in the county attorney's office going after indictments against two people who were discussed in our series.
Okay. Tim Stellar, again, keep up the good work. And so I assume the column Sunday, you kind of alluded to that it will be about this.
Yeah,
this
trying to bring all these strands together a little bit into a what it means type of analysis.
For the U of A. And
yep.
Yeah.
It's big time.
All right. Thank you, Tim. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Coming up next, Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive. Leslie Lois will join me in studio. Be right back.
Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
A proposed $2.67 billion regional transportation plan will be funded by a half-cent sales tax if Pima County voters approve the plan and tax next March for another 20 years. Funding from a 2006 voter-approved plan is expected to bring a $3.67 billion economic impact to the greater Tucson region. The sales tax investment for RTA Next will lead to a similar economic impact and more than 88,000 jobs over the next 20-plus years. Learn more about RTA Next funding and proposed projects at RTANext.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Andy, then, time for Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's time to start planning an enchanting weekend in the land of enchantment, and you can't get more enchanting than autumn over in New Mexico. Only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson, you will find, oh gosh, warm days and clear, cool nights in a delightful part of the Southwest. So much to do, including seeing the leaves turn in the Gila National Wilderness. Those aspens look so good this time of year. Start your planning by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Leslie Lois is with us. Wow, what a busy weekend, Leslie.
Oh, my gosh.
You've got five pages of activities here. You're going to have to really, really get going here. I'm going to shut up and let you take over.
Well, ZooSon is tonight at the Reed Park Zoo, which is so much fun. They have a gala. It features Tucson's favorite restaurants. There's going to be auctions going on, animal ambassador presentations, live music. This is a 21 and over event. It's tonight from 6 to 9. I would check out Reed Park zoo.org to see if they have any tickets left. We are officially in October, and man, Oktoberfest galore celebrations going on. There's actually two of them up on Mount Lemmon. You've got one at the Mount Lemmon Lodge that's going on every weekend through October. And of course, the other one is at the Ski Lodge on Saturday and Sundays as well. So you can get up there, enjoy the cool weather. Down here, Oktoberfest at Trail Dust Town is going on tomorrow from 3 to 9. They're going to have brats and pretzels and, of course, German beer. It is free to attend, but of course you want to bring money to get all that kind of stuff. And this is kind of cool, Unpack the Pack. So this is the Arizona Music Connections. They're going to be here with Pack for doing a pet adoption over at Corbett's. This is happening at 10 to 2 tomorrow. It is free to attend, but you might be able to walk away with a fur baby.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up. We just had Steve Kasachek, the director of Pack, on our Friday Focus interview. So he was just talking about some of these outstanding events, and that's a big one.
Yeah, that'll be really good for them. Mm-hmm. Asian Night Market is going on at Rito Park. That is tomorrow night, 6 to 10. They're going to enjoy, you can get Asian food. There's going to be an incredible lineup of music, dance, and a lot more to see and buy things there as well. And speaking of buying, the Children's Entrepreneur Market is happening tomorrow from 10 to 1. It's going to be on 4th Avenue between University and 9th. These young entrepreneurs between 5 and 17 are going to be lined up on the sidewalks getting you to buy their stuff that they created.
Cool.
I thought that was super cool.
It is cool. Why is everything happening just this week?
I know.
Football game. It starts at noon. Oklahoma State and the Cats.
Yeah, and the Red-Blue game is tonight at McHale.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
And all of our stations, we're going to be out. Look for us tailgating tomorrow. Plus, you guys.
We are at Spirit's Child tomorrow, 11:30 to 1:30. People can become a finalist to win that 1967 Ford Fairlane we're giving away. Yeah, it's crazy.
A lot of excitement about that automobile. And what color is it? It's a
60s green,
ooh,
I guess. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Leslie, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Leslie Lois with, boy, a flurry of activity yeah. this weekend. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Our thanks to my fine young producer, Brendan Kraft, on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our program. Thanks to everybody here at Bustos Media in Tucson. Thanks to Leslie Lois and the whole team at our sister station, The Drive. All of us wishing you well. Have a great weekend.
KBOI Quintero, celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month on 1030 The Voice, Tucson's only live local news and talk.